Come to order. There we go. Now we're working. Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez.
Here.
Representative D. Smith.
Here.
Representative Thompson.
Here.
Representative Barterman.
Here.
Brannon.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Clemens. Excused. Daly.
Here.
Graw.
Here.
Ingoglia.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Coster.
Here.
LaMarca.
Here.
Roach.
Present.
Silvers. He'll be late. Stevenson.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Valdez.
Present.
A quorum is present, sir.
Thank you, Sanjay. All right, members, welcome back to PI, Public Integrity and Elections. We're going to get right to it. I want to start off by giving a brief intro. If you guys remember, in 2018, the citizens of Florida ratified Amendment 12 proposed by the CRC, the Constitutional Revision Commission. One part of that revision is already in effect. Amendment 12's lobbying prohibitions on public officers go into effect on December 31st of next year. And the legislature has expressed authority to implement those provisions, and there are many expectations that we will do so this coming session. But before doing so, today we'll begin that important conversation with a presentation by our own House Deputy Counsel, Michael Maeda, who is currently acting as General Counsel. Mr. Maeda, you are recognized to explain the lobbying prohibitions, and then we will open up the floor for some questions if we have some time. The floor is yours, sir.
It's on? We on.
There you go.
Thank you, Chair. As the Chair said, my name is Michael Maeda. I'm our acting general counsel. I'm going to talk with you all about Amendment 12, but only part of Amendment 12. I'm not going to cover all of it. Amendment 12 did a number of things, and it involves several provisions of the Florida Constitution. It established lobbying prescriptions for public officers while they are in office and for various public officers when they leave office, and that's primarily what I'm going to talk about today. It also created a prescription for former judges lobbying, and I'll cover that a little bit to the extent there may be a Commission on Ethics jurisdiction issue. It also created a schedule providing for effective dates, legislative implementation. As the Chair said, part of it is actually already in effect, the part that says, you know, public officers and employees can't use their office to obtain a disproportionate benefit for themselves, and I've covered that a little bit in an ethics presentation before. That provision's already in effect. The legislature has already recodified provisions related to that. The Commission on Ethics has already promulgated a rule on that. So today I'm just covering part of Amendment 12 and part of what it adds to Article 2, Section 8. So there are two prescriptions that I'm going to talk about today. One involves prescribing officials from certain types of lobbying while they're in office. That's this slide right here. The next slide will be barring public officials from certain types of lobbying when they leave. So this provision right here says public officers cannot lobby for compensation on three types of issues: policy, appropriations, or procurement. And these public officers can't do so before four types of entities: the federal government, state government bodies or agencies, the legislature, or political subdivisions. This is while the public officer is in office. The second prescription, this one is not while the public officer is in office, this is when they leave office. It's pretty similar, it's for 6 years. The type of lobbying is the same, right? It's policy, procurement, appropriations. But it might be a little bit more narrow to the extent the entities that public officers cannot lobby after they leave might be a little bit smaller. So statewide elected officers and legislators cannot lobby the legislature or any state government body or agency for 6 years. There's another prescription on basically agency heads. You're thinking, you know, the governor, EOG, members of the cabinet, agencies headed by members of the cabinet. They cannot lobby their former department for 6 years. You've got local officials, think county commissioners, school board members, superintendents. They also cannot lobby for 6 years before their former department or agency. So what is a public officer? It's a fairly broad term. You're thinking statewide elected officers, legislators, heads of executive agencies, various local officials. Those are all the entities captured by this new provision. And I would note there's a limitation. I'm not sure this is totally necessary, but it at least avoids the potential problem, the accidental problem of Amendment 12 saying that public officers can't do what effectively they ought to be able to do anyway, right? To the extent that the amendment might have been interpreted to say a legislator cannot lobby the governor or the governor can't lobby the state legislator, an agency head couldn't lobby the legislature, hey, we've got a piece of policy we need. The amendment says it doesn't do that. So the parts of your office that otherwise wouldn't violate the code of ethics. I mean, the code of ethics is really here to say you can't use your office for personal private gain. Here, you're just using your office the way you ought to be using your office. And the amendment says, you know, that's just fine. And so maybe the reason for this presentation is a lot of terms are not defined, you may have noticed. And the amendment explicitly says the legislature has the authority to implement this provision, to implement Amendment 12, in part by defining terms. And when it comes to providing for penalties for violations, which Amendment 12 also says can be done by the legislature, the Code of Ethics already provides a complaint process for existing violations of Article 2, Section 8. And again, as I said earlier, the legislature reenacted part of Chapter 112 to provide for penalties for violations of the provision that says, you know, public office employees can't use their office for a disproportionate benefit. And as I said earlier, there's a bit of a Commission on Ethics a jurisdiction issue. So the Commission on Ethics has jurisdiction over violations of Article 2, Section 8. But Amendment 12 also provided, in addition to an Article 2, Section 8, several new provisions, Article 2, Section 8, it provided also a limitation on former judges lobbying. Well, that lives in Article 5. So the Commission on Ethics wouldn't have jurisdiction to handle those complaints. Something I wanted to make a note of. So part two, here are several terms that at least caught my eye that are undefined. Lobby is undefined. Policy is not defined. What appropriations is, technically, that's not defined by this provision. Procurement's not defined. The federal government isn't. State government body is not defined. Now, I would note, state agency already lives in the Constitution, so legislators cannot lobby for compensation entities before state agencies. State agencies, when that was added, when the legislature added that to Chapter 112, it defined that as an entity of the, you know, executive, legislative, or judicial branches of state government over which the legislature has plenary budgetary and statutory control. But state government body is not defined. Now, I think if we're going to render the terms so that they're not superfluous, right, so we've got provisions of the Constitution that can live side by side that provision, it probably has to mean something else. It's at least something more than a state agency. That might include, say, the Fish and Wildlife Commission. It might include the Board of Governors. And political subdivision is not defined. It might just mean a county commission. It might mean political subdivisions, including municipalities and special districts. But there are all these terms that legislature has the authority to define that the constitutional provision did not. So that concludes my presentation. If there are any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Maida. Members, are there any questions? Representative Angolia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Michael, good afternoon. Question. So the various terms remaining undefined, are you saying that we need to further define those for clarification purposes?
Chair, thank you. So we don't technically have to define them. There's not an obligation on the legislature to define them, but the legislature has the authority to.
Bob, cut for a series?
You can have an ongoing conversation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I mean, it would behoove us to define this stuff rather than the Commission of Ethics or eventually a court of law. We would rather have that.
That's my opinion, yes.
So going to the definition of lobby, so the governmental authority could be a zoning board or anything you're asking the government for. It could be a building department putting in a permit application. Sure. So I'm a state rep, but I'm also a home builder. So during my normal course of business, I have to go before the zoning board have to discuss things with the zoning board or submitting building applications. The way the law or the Constitution is written right now, would that fall under the definition of lobby, me just going and doing business with the county as I would normally do?
I think there's a risk of that happening under this amendment, right? You know, if the commission were interpreting it, and they've done that, say, with you know, Article 2, Section 8's prescription on legislators lobbying state agencies, it did a plain language interpretation of it. So mm-hmm. say, here are the words here. If it's not ambiguous, what's the plain language of it? That's part of the risk. That's why I think it would be a good idea for the legislature to say, well, hey, we've got a citizen legislature. That would be part of it. But there's a risk of that. I don't know exactly how the commission would come down.
So you can expand on that also if you're an elected official, you're also a hospital administrator, and you're waiting for a doctor to be approved through the Department of Health. Just calling them and asking them, hey, what's the status? That could be construed as lobbying also. So this really needs to be defined in a way where we're not having any unintended consequences. Is that accurate?
I think that would be a good idea. That's my view of it, for sure.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, Representative Tant.
Thank you. So here's my question, kind of dovetails with his, and that is that, so if, let's say, a city commissioner who is on the League of Cities, or whatever they call it, to come and they want to come up here to, and they were asked to come up here to speak on some legislation, is compensation, his salary, does that count under this? And does then, if he's lobbying us on a particular issue or on a bill, is he prohibited because he's elected?
So my view on that would be the sort of avoiding unintended consequences provision in Amendment 12, saying this isn't going to cover public officials just carrying out the duties of their office. You know, again, kind of in the same vein, I wouldn't read this to mean that the governor or members of the EOG or cabinet couldn't come to the, or state agency heads couldn't come to the legislature to sort of lobby on behalf of their agencies and say, well, hey, there's public policy we need. That would in some ways kind of shut down government in some ways. It would alter government in a pretty significant way. I don't think that would be the case. And again, that would be, you know, maybe an area where the legislature could engage in policymaking to be sure of that. I think the amendment already would say that's okay. Now, if they're being paid by an outside entity to do that, there'd be another code of ethics violation. But just under the amendment, I would think that would be okay.
Any questions, members? Representative Koster.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I have a question on, I don't know which number slide it is, but it's the first prescription about lobbying during your term in office, and I guess probably applies to the other as well. It says that you cannot lobby for issues of policy, appropriations, or procurement. That seems to imply that there's something you can lobby on, and maybe this is ignorant in my, maybe I'm just ignorant as to potential issues, but what would, I mean, is this an exhaustive list? Is it really that you can't lobby on anything, period? Or is there a reason that these three things were listed and not other things?
That's a good question. My reading would be if they wanted to prohibit all types of lobbying, it would have said a public officer shall not lobby on any subject. So in some ways, it leaves that open. I agree, it does seem kind of exhaustive, but again, policy isn't really defined. Appropriations isn't defined. Procurement's not defined. So there is some room. I would think it would have covered everything. The amendment would have said lobby on any subject, I think.
Members, any further questions? Representative Stevenson?
Thank you. I guess what the question I hear is, what else is there? I mean, what other examples are there of things that might be included under lobbying that aren't spelled out by this amendment?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. But the legislature can still narrow what policy is. It could still narrow what appropriations is. It could still narrow what procurement is, as long as it doesn't violate the intent of the voters. And what that is might be up to a court, but you know, certainly the fact that the legislature has been given specific authority to implement it by defining terms, the fact that those terms aren't defined, there is certainly area for the legislature to engage in policymaking.
Members, any further questions? All right. Thank you, Mr. Maeda.
Thanks.
Okay, members, that will conclude our presentation portion of today. Is there any other comments that need to be made? All right, seeing none, upon the motion of Vice Chair Smith, without objection, the meeting stands adjourned.